Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer in the last segment absolutely losing his mind over this offseason for the Milwaukee Bucks. You don't find that funny? You don't like that? This is the Wendy's Big Show. 4 o'clock hour. We're in the Holt Chevrolet Studios. Still coming up on the show this evening. We want to know how you're spending your All-Star break. We'll also talk with Marcus Landry, the former Badger. He joins us coming up at 5:35 to talk about this Bucks and NBA offseason as a whole. Right now, we want to know, do you think this Brewers' success is sustainable beyond this year? 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. And in the 3 o'clock hour, Sparky, we were asking whether or not folks would be okay with this team standing pat.
Yes.
And I said this team has to stand pat. Mm-hmm. That it would not be prudent at this juncture for them to, quote-unquote, go for it or make moves that would give them a better chance this year because they can't win a World Series this year. And you said, if my answer to the question at 4 o'clock is yes, then I'm contradicting myself.
Yes. No, that's exactly
I am not contradicting myself.
So your answer is that you think they can be this good next year.
I think that this success is sustainable beyond this year. This success is designed to be sustainable beyond this year. Mm-hmm. It should get better beyond this year, which is exactly why I don't think that they should make a move this year, because they're good this year. They're good enough to win what so far has been a bad NL Central, but they're not winning a World Series. The window to win a World Series is coming. It might start as early as next year if certain guys take that step, if certain guys, some of their top-ranked prospects, can make the jump to the big leagues and have the type of impact that a lot of people think that they can have. Because as good as you are, those guys presumably should be better, right?
The prospects, the younger guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
The guys, the five guys that you have in the top 55 mm-hmm. of Major League Baseball prospects.
You're right.
Whoever they are going to come up and replace, they should be better than them, shouldn't they?
When they get here.
Right. So this success not only is sustainable, this success should be built upon. There should be improvement in the for the next 2 to 3 years of this Brewers team. I don't expect a step backwards. I only expect steps forward for the Brewers for the foreseeable future. That's why David Stearns is building it the way that he's building it. That's why you do a rebuild. That's why you tear it down all the way down to the studs to rebuild it and renovate the whole thing. That's the point of this, isn't it?
I don't know if I'm with you on this one. I don't. So this is my deal. My deal is, do you think this team, with the talent that they have, was a team coming into the season that would have 50 wins at the All-Star break?
No.
So what changed about their talent between April and now?
We didn't know that. We didn't know that some of these guys were as good as they are.
Okay, Sogard. Who else?
Travis Shaw.
Yes, we did. His minor league number said he was. Who else?
Eric Thames for the first month of the season.
Right. We didn't see that. You're right.
Jesus
now,
Aguilar.
Now Aguilar's minor league number says this too. So again, I mean, for the most part, they've had, as I've stated, the pixie dust, the baseball gods, unbelievably great team chemistry. I don't know if you can match this again in another season or whatever the case may be. I'm going forward. The pitching staff is the starting pitching rotation is still in disarray and needs to be fixed as well. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that, you know, you have this year where you go to the playoffs, and then next year all of a sudden you fall back and you win 78 to 80 games and everybody freaks out and says, what happened? They were so good. You know, we had our hopes up, and now they fell back, and now we're mad again. And then the next year, they take a giant step forward again. And then they get on that train of sustained success going forward. I guess that's where I'm at. I'm not convinced that this year is the beginning of that run that we're all waiting for. I'm not convinced that this is the year that starts the 5 out of 6 playoff year run or 4 out of 6 playoff year run. Not convinced this is the year. There's a lot of guys on this team that I just don't think necessarily are here when you get that roster put together. Now, I will admit to you that I am a stickler in the belief that when certain guys are here, that's when it will begin. When Brinson is here, when Diaz is here, when Ursek is here, there are certain guys in the system that when they're all here and playing in like year 2, year 3 of that process, then I will be a lot easier to get on that train to say, yes, now we're going. We're in that right direction. But I think we're a couple of years away, probably, at least like next year away from Corey Raitt getting
See,
here.
I think that Diaz
at least is a couple of years away as well. Brinson should be the starting center fielder, I would think, next year. But the rest of these guys that you're talking about, top 100 guys, aren't going to be on this roster next year, more than likely. They're just...
No, and I'm not saying next year. One or two of them, Brinson might be on the roster by next
year. Brinson should be on the starting center fielder.
I think that you're expecting at
or
some
left fielder if they move Braun, which they can't because he's hurt.
I think you're expecting at some point in this rebuild for David Stearns in the front office to go, all right, it's time for these guys. All our prospects are coming up. This is it.
That's not how it's going to be. What I'm telling you is I don't think the guys on this roster right now can come back next year and duplicate what they did this year and catch the same chemistry, catch the same stuff that's going on with this team. I think it's not all the guys. I think it's one of those magic carpet ride type years where everything he touches turns to gold. And I think next year very well may be a step back. And then that year after that is when they get on their run of, you know, that sustained success where you start looking at the World Series 3-4 years out as your team continues to build and get better.
If you're asking me,
I just don't know if I buy into this group of guys duplicating next year what they're doing this year.
Okay, if you're asking me if I think that this 25-man roster, if their success will sustain beyond this year, no, probably not. Almost no roster goes without turnover over the course of an offseason, and being where the Brewers are at this stage in their rebuild, there's going to be roster turnover.
Wait a second. Hold on. Braun's under contract, Santana's under contract, Shaw's under contract, Aguilar's under contract, Thames is under contract, Arcia's under contract, Pena, I don't believe, is up after this year, right? Isn't
I don't
he still
think
under
so.
Team control?
Yeah.
There's no reason for any of these guys to go anywhere. I mean, Sogard.
Unless you have somebody better.
Sogard may not be back, but for the most part, these same group of guys are going to be back, yes.
Unless you look in your minor league system and you go, we have a guy who we're pretty sure is better than that. We can move player X.
You only have one. That's Brinson.
Not necessarily.
Better than Broxton. That's it. There's nobody else. There's not a first baseman ready. There's not a second baseman ready. There's not a third baseman ready, and there's not a catcher ready. There's nobody else ready other than Brinson for next year.
Well, Shaw can move to first if you have a third baseman you want to call up.
But you don't have one. Don't have one. Ursig is the guy that you're waiting for. Jake Gatewood, maybe? And he's coming.
Isan Diaz can play third.
He has some power. Yeah, but he's far away, too, and he's a second baseman. I just don't know. Joe's here. Just grab a microphone, man. The microphone's right there. You don't got to write stuff down.
This isn't my show.
It's a radio station.
That's
so
okay.
What, man?
We're all friends here.
We don't tell people like
he's
come on the
radio. This is just a sports bar, Joe. You're just walking in and hearing this conversation.
What about Mauricio Dubon? I mean, he just got promoted to AAA, and he has been unbelievable.
Yes, but again, now you're saying, because Doug Melvin was categorically against this, is Stearns going to move a guy from AA to the major league roster in training camp, or in spring training next year? I don't think so. I think these guys are all of the belief that these guys need to get so many at-bats before they come up, whatever number that is, in the minor leagues, before they then move up. I just think at opening day next year, more than likely, you're still going to have Pena as your catcher. Travis Shaw is going to be in the line, whether it be at first or third, right? Depending on what you do. They can sign a third baseman, fine. But you gave Thames that deal. So if Shaw's playing first, that means Thames is a utility guy between first base and corner outfield. He's not that great of a corner outfielder.
But
the outfield is Braun and Santana for sure. Center field is Broxton or Brinson. Arcia is not moving from shortstop, so he's staying.
No, but that's what
second base is a question mark. I'll give you that. So who knows who second is, and you don't have anybody ready there either necessarily. So, I mean, again, everybody likes Garrett Cooper now because Cooper's hitting at AAA. Again, I think he's more of a doubles type hitter. I don't know if he's a big power guy.
You know what this is going to be like? ideally, what it would be like for David Stearns and the Brewers, if it's like the Packers, where you don't necessarily have wholesale changes in any one offseason. You let one or two guys go, you trade one or two guys, and then you call up one or two prospects.
Right, but
and
they're not there yet
in the season
system.
or in the offseason.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying their farm system, talent-wise, isn't here, isn't close enough yet to say they're ready to do that
now. That's what I've been arguing all along.
You're 2 to 3 years from being in that position where you're talking.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. So I think next year is a step back probably, and then the following year is when they get their mojo and they start to make that run.
I think you can improve on this coming offseason. Maybe this offseason is the time when they decide, you know what, Lewis Brinson is ready. Maybe we can move Keon Broxton.
Sure.
Add something to the rotation or to the bullpen.
I agree with you about Brinson, yes.
And maybe during next season, you go, you know what, Lucas Urseg looks ready. Let's move Shaw over to first and call up Urseg.
That's 2 years. And I said in 2 years, that's probably when it begins. Yes,
I'm just making examples. I'm just coming up with these out of the blue. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
They're going to plug along. They're going to say, okay, we can improve here. Okay, we need to improve here. And they're just going to plug along. It's going to be a revolving door. It's going to be a revolving door of talent. Ideally, you'll run this organization the way that the Packers. Remember how Gary a long time ago said the Packers rebuilt before our very eyes, and we didn't even see it.
Right.
That's how David Stearns wants to run this thing. So if you're talking about this group of guys, this 25-man roster, no, probably not. You never see a roster stay the same over the course of a run.
But if
we're talking about the Brewers as an organization and whether this success is sustainable beyond this year, absolutely. I think it should only get better.
If this team wins 88, 89 games this year, do we go into next year expecting the exact same thing?
I mean, you never know. Look at what happened to the Cubs this year. But I'm just saying.
But you do know. Because
progress is not linear.
But we do know. We're in the middle of this. We're watching this happen. You know you're feeling something special with this team right now. You can't argue that there is something special about what this team is doing right now. And to say they can capture that again, I don't know. Now, hold on. So we talked about the position players, right? About how this is going to work. Look at the rotation now. So now the rotation. Jimmy Nelson. Right? He's back.
Chase Anderson,
you would think, right?
I can't believe he's having the season that he's having.
I don't know his contract status. Is he up after this year or do they have
another year? I think they have contractual control for at least one more year.
Okay. I think he's got two.
So Jimmy Nelson, Chase Anderson, they're both back, right?
Sure.
Davies is still here. But now all of a sudden, Hader can be a rotation guy if that's where decide where you want him to
be. He needs to be in the rotation.
And Woodruff can be in the rotation as well.
Yes.
So now that rotation gets more talent, you could say, over Garza and Guerra, but it also becomes younger. And you're going to probably have some bumps in the road anytime you have a young pitcher going into rotation for their first full season in a rotation. Sometimes that happens. Doesn't mean the pitcher is bad, just means it's a tough first year. So that also could happen. And if Hader is coming out of that bullpen, can Corey Knebel match again what he's doing this year going forward, or is it a Turnbull or Axford or Danny Kolb where, you know, yeah, he rolls for a couple years, blows up, and then you have to get somebody else, and you keep going that process. There's just so many things going right for this team this year. All I'm saying is I think you're really, I'm not going to say fooling yourself, but you really got to sell me on why it's the same next year. How do they continue this run that they have now?
Do you think the Brewers' success this year is sustainable beyond this season?
Next 799-1250,
or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Swenny's Big Show will be right back, right after this, in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. Swenny's Big Show, we're live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. Coming up at 4:35, want to know what you're doing with your All-Star break. We'll still take your calls on whether or not you think the Brewers' success this year is sustainable beyond this year at 799-1250. You can always tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. All-Star game last night, did you watch it? Did you catch it?
I DVR'd it.
Uh-huh. And then fast-forwarded through the whole thing.
Deleted it.
You never even watched any of it?
Corey Knebel never even pitched.
So?
That's the only reason I was going to watch it. To see what Corey Knebel did, to see how he looked. Because he didn't look that great in New York. He blew the game Saturday. He didn't look good Sunday. Got out of it. Didn't look good. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, just don't pitch him. Just don't pitch him. So I kept looking at I was looking at the box score on my phone to see if he was in the game. Because if he was in the game, then I was going to try and flip over to see it. So, and then we ran to Target for a little bit. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking. I'm
spending a lot of time at Target.
Yeah, we do. Oh, my God. They're all the time. But I'm going, man, still not in the game. Still not in the game. Still not in the game. uh-oh. And then I thought, they're going to go to extra innings. So it was the bottom of the ninth, and it was tied. I'm going, dude, if this thing ends up in a tie the very first year they take home field out, this is going to be a fiasco. People are going to go crazy again, and it's going to be on Rob Manfred this time. And then eventually saw that the Cubs blew it, and that's how the All-Star game ended, which was fine with me. And then people started tweeting at me, asking me about my thoughts on Corey Knebel not playing. My thoughts are good. I didn't want him to play.
People were so pissed off on my timeline
last
night.
But don't! He hasn't pitched well the last two times. I'd rather have him get 4 days off, clear his head. The last thing I need is him going in the All-Star game, giving up a game-winning home run, and being back in a funk until they come back for the Brewers at home against Philly. No! I'm fine with him not pitching. Totally fine. And in fact, you know, sometimes in baseball, what happens? A manager will call an All-Star manager and be like, dude, if there's any way possible to keep my guy off the field, I'd appreciate it, right? I'll try my best, but no guarantees. I don't know if Council did that or not. If I would have been Council, I would have done it. Dude, he's pitched 2 days in a row here. We got four. I get it. I don't really want him out there. He's not been pitching all that. I'd rather just rest him until, right? Madden, I hope you understand, whatever. And maybe Madden said to Council, sure, no problem. I got you. Yeah, I'll hold him. But I can't promise I'm going to hold him forever. If I got to pitch him, I got to pitch him. I'm sure Connell, yeah, sure, fine, whatever.
And Knebel said,
he was the last guy left.
He said he was told that the next inning was his. Had the game gone another inning, it was his.
Wasn't he the only guy left?
Yeah, but they could.
Who else was going to pitch, Madden?
You could have put Wade Davis out there for a second inning.
I guess you could have, yeah. But no, that's fine. I mean, like I said, I'm more than happy that he didn't pitch. Totally fine with it. His head was good. He was in a good place Sunday when that game ended. He was happy Council stuck with him and didn't pull him, because I would have. He didn't get pulled. He was happy the team stuck behind him. Everything's happy and positive. Leave Corey Knebel alone. Let's get to Friday. Take on the Phillies, beat their brains in for a couple games, and move on. I'm fine with him not playing. Had no issue with it whatsoever. Like I said, if I was Council, I would have called and asked him not to play him.
A lot of people last night on Twitter were upset and saying that this was Joe Maddon and the Cubs sticking it to the Brewers again.
No.
The Brewers get one All-Star in the All-Star game.
No.
And Joe Maddon says, nah, you just sit there.
No.
We're not going to put you out on the stage.
Nobody's talked to Council yet. But that would be a question I'd ask if I was Adam McKelvey or Tom Hargercourt or Todd Rosiak. Hey, man, you talk to Maddon at all and see maybe if he could get a day of rest here since he pitched on Saturday and Sunday? I'd ask him. Council maybe not have called him, and it may just have worked out to that way. But if I was the Brewers, I definitely would. If he pitched in back-to-back games. And high leverage situations. He pitched at the bottom of the eighth and the ninth on Sunday after blowing the game on Sunday. I don't want him pitching in that game if he doesn't have to. So thank you to Wade Davis and the Cubs for ending that game. I appreciate it. Good job.
Yeah, I thought it was a good thing, too.
That he didn't pitch?
Yeah. It's a good thing for the Brewers and for Corey Knebel that he didn't pitch.
It's different. If he was on a roll, he closed the game Friday, didn't pitch Saturday or Sunday, then go ahead. Go pitch. I'm fine with it. But based on the circumstances, I didn't want him to pitch. So I'm good with it.
Were you okay with Corey Knebel not pitching yesterday? 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider, tweeted out about 2 hours ago. He says, when Knebel didn't get a call last night, Brewers became MLB's first division leader left out of an All-Star game box score since the 09 Angels.
What did they do?
The 09 Angels? Was that the team that won the World Series? I'm not sure.
That's why I asked you. I don't know. What did they do?
I can find out for
Let's
you.
Let's find out.
Okay.
Anytime you come up with different weird stats like that, I'm always interested in knowing what happened with that team that it hasn't happened since. Did that team go on to lose in the first round of the playoffs?
But this has
did
no...
they go on to win the World Series?
No, the Yankees won the World Series in 09.
So they didn't even get to the World Series then.
Right.
All right, then. Well, then this is pointless. Then it doesn't even matter.
That's a damn good team, though. Looking at it right now, you had Lackey, Vladimir Guerrero, Howie Kendrick, Mike Napoli. Scott Kazmir, Sean Figgins, Jared Weaver. That was a good baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that they were in first place.
Sure does. Tell me this.
Yes.
When somebody looks at this Brewers roster in 10 years,
yeah,
and they win this division with the record they do, people are going to say the same thing?
Did you just say, and they win this division? Like it's a foregone conclusion?
Well, I mean, the only reason you're looking this up is because they won the division. It's an all-star stat.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saying if it's the same thing, the first time it's happened since the Brewers won their division in 2017, and then somebody Googles the Brewers roster, do you think the person on the radio station in Boston or Detroit or
Anaheim,
wherever, is going to say the exact same thing about that Brewers roster? Man, Aguilar, Thames, Shaw. What a roster. You think?
Mm-hmm. I don't think you have any Vladimir Guerreros on this roster.
Braun.
Okay, yeah. And you know what? That is comparable because Guerrero was at a similar stage in his career. A little older, injury prone.
Just wasn't a liar. Okay, let's talk about small Frosties.
See Vladimir Guerrero's son?
Yeah.
Kid can rake. What? Why'd you just get all quiet on me? What are you looking for?
You reminded me I wanted
He just got all quiet and started typing out his computer. I thought you were about to tell us about Wendy's.
Hold on a second.
What are you doing?
I wanted to check something.
Hold on. What are you looking for? Can you tell me what you're looking for at least?
I just want to see if I'm wrong or not.
Okay. This is making great radio.
Don't worry about it.
What were you looking for?
50 cent small Frosties. Oh, that's right. For a limited time only, you can get a Wendy's small Frosty for only 50 cents. That's 5 dimes, 10 nickels, 50 pennies. Chocolate or vanilla Frosty. Sweet treat to beat the heat. And it's hot and muggy and humid and eek.
I'm going to get me one tonight. Right now.
Don't forget, why is that? It's a Wendy's Wednesday.
It's a Wendy's Wednesday, buddy.
No, that's right. Yeah, Wendy's strawberry mango salad.
I found $10 yesterday. It's paying for Wendy's Wednesday. What?
Where?
In the park.
What park?
The park right by my house.
What park is that?
I don't want to say.
Why? Because a person will call up and say that it's his $10?
Yeah.
Or her $10?
Falsely accuse me of taking their money. Just because it was in their pocket.
Yep. Wendy's knows you don't live in a perfect world. Example, Rami. Which is why they made the new strawberry mango salad. Made fresh daily with fresh chopped lettuce, freshly grilled chicken, juicy mango, and fresh cut strawberries. It's the perfect salad for your imperfect world. Wendy's, baby. It's a Wendy's Wednesday. Go get yourself some dinner tonight. And don't forget kids' meals. $1.99 after 4 o'clock. When you're there, get the free Wendy's Family Fun Card. Lots of discounts. A lot of different area attractions like Noah's Ark, Brewers Baseball. Let's see what else we got here. It's not the Brewers, sorry. Noah's Ark, Stonefire Pizza, Bucks Basketball, Admirals Hockey, Wave Soccer. You use it for a whole year. Get your Family Fun Card at Wendy's tonight on a Wendy's Wednesday.
Do you guys feel bad when you find money?
Hell no, I get excited and happy. What do you mean? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
I felt bad.
Why did you feel bad?
I don't know, because I know how pissed off I get when I lose money. If it's like if it's $5 or more, I am irate when I lose money. It's only happened to me a few times.
I don't really rarely care cash on me.
So whenever I find money, I try and find its rightful owner. But I was in the park yesterday and I'm, you know, on the path, we walk around the park and I turn a corner and there's $10 sitting there right in the middle of the path. I look ahead as far as the eye can see. There's nobody. I look behind me as far as the eye can see. I see nobody. So somebody's grabbing that $10. Why not me, right? So I picked it up and I grabbed it, but it's been burning a hole in my pocket ever since, man.
So
guilt.
If you would have been at Summerfest this last week or whatever, and you would have found, say, $20 on the ground, and there's people walking everywhere, and there's just a $20 bill lying there. You pick up the $20 bill and start tapping people on the shoulder to ask them if it's their $20, or do you just put it in your pocket and keep walking?
I don't know. That's a weird situation, because there are people everywhere.
You put it in your pocket and you keep walking, fool. Because if you tap somebody on the shoulder and go, is this yours?
I know what they're
going to
say.
Somebody's going to lie and say yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's mine.
And they're going to take it. And they won't even flinch when lying about it. They won't. Now, you could get an honest person where you might have found their $20 and they would take it. Sure, there's a chance you could get lucky of all those people that have walked over that area. You might find the person. But odds are you're not going to find that person.
Jeremy says, that is my $10. I could describe it as Alexander Hamilton on the front. He is looking to his right. No. Please return it. Thanks.
Give me the numbers in order on the bill and it's yours.
You're being facetious.
No, I'm telling you. Give Rami the numbers in order on the 10 and you can have it.
No, that's buying my 4 for $4 tonight. Me and the girlfriend, 4 for $4s on a Wendy's Wednesday.
My dad, I should have him explain it to me one of these days. They used to, him and his buddies, used to play a game with their money. And I think it was, I guess it could be anything.
Yeah, it's like serial number poker.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, we
serial
played that in
poker
grade school.
With money. They used to do it all the time. I didn't understand it, really. But
what do you mean, serial number poker? What do you do?
You make the best poker hand, like if you have, you know, 4 or 5 9s in the serial number on your bill,
right,
and your friend, you know, can't beat it, then you get their
correct
bill.
Right.
Oh, no, screw that.
Yeah.
Keeping my
and you
money.
Do it with dollars, fives, tens, twenties.
No, keeping my money. I don't gamble. I don't like gambling. I work too hard for my money. I don't work that hard at all. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, what you doing with your summer? With your
went that raise you were going to ask for? You just outed yourself on that one.
What you doing with that All-Star break? We'll find out next.
Play that back for you in the meeting.
On the Wendy's Big Show, the Holtz Chevrolet Studio. Speaking of playing things back, Stornie's Big Show. We're live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. We'll reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. Give you the final say at 5. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane.
That's a good tweet. Mike says, I'm surprised that Madden didn't pitch Corey to tire him out more for the second half of the season.
Yeah, you should be thanking him.
I don't think he's a jerk like that, though.
I don't think so either, no.
Yeah, I don't know Madden at all. I've never talked to Madden in my life, but he didn't appear to be a jerk like that.
Jeremy says that
now, La Russa? That I could see.
Jeremy says that this drop sounds a little bit like Sparky. Sounds a little bit too much like Sparky giving it to the old lady.
That's not what I sound like. No. Do you know when I hear that?
That's pretty angry.
I'll be honest.
I hope
with
that's
you.
Not the sound.
When I hear that,
yeah.
I hear Tim Allen.
This right here?
Yeah. The whole Tim does that all the time. Doesn't he, Jeff? Jeff knows.
Tim usually does it out of
excitement. He does.
He does that out of excitement. Like if the Brewers score a big run and take a lead, he'd be like, yeah! I've heard that before.
No, you're doing the fist pump. No, okay,
this is different.
He does a growling sound effect where he pounds it just like that. I'm 99% sure that's where I picked that up from.
I don't know why, but I love that sound. But
yeah, I don't know the first part of that. I don't know what that's all about. But the other part, yeah.
Hey, what are you watching? Because there's no sports for the next couple of days.
I got some good stuff to get Rami all mad at
me. And I'm not into the ESPYs. So what you watch in the next 2 days, 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com.
Isn't Manning hosting that tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's funny in scripted stuff. I don't know how funny he is without scripted stuff,
though. Well, it's all scripted. Everything he'll be doing tonight will be scripted.
So he won't write any of his own stuff?
No.
Not at all?
Think Peyton Manning is writing his own monologue?
No, but my point is they've had, like, didn't Jimmy Kimmel do it 1 year? I mean, they've had funny people hosting it normally.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel does some of the writing, but Jimmy Kimmel probably also brings his own team of writers from his show.
Okay, so who's doing it for him?
Probably all ESPN-hired writers.
So it's not going to be funny?
Probably not.
I really don't care.
Well, their commercials are funny.
I want Giannis to win his award. That'd be good. But I don't. Other than that, I don't really care.
So what you watching the next couple
and
of days?
I did vote for Giannis.
799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. Sparky?
Hey, man, it's DVR time. Right? Yo, your DVR, because there's not much.
My DVR is emptied out, dude.
There's not much. I got, kids, I got everything under, everything on the
Well,
DVR.
I mean, it's not empty because my girlfriend is saving football games from a year ago for whatever reason.
Get Mike Clemens' DVD burner, burn him the DVD, and then erase him from
the
DVR.
She has a DVD burner.
Well, then use it.
Telling me, dude.
Why don't you just hook it up and burn him?
That's my tone of voice when I'm telling her to get that crap off my DVR.
How long does your comedy night take on Wednesday nights?
We usually get out of there about 10, between 10 and 11. Depends
so
how many
like
people show up.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Dude, just start the game, start the DVD burner, and leave. Now, when you come home, it's already burned. You don't have to sit there and watch the game.
I'm not doing it. It's not my game. I'll delete it. I don't care.
But, Rami, if you do it every week, you're done in, 16 weeks? You'll have your DVR cleaned off.
She doesn't keep all of them.
Which ones? Just the wins?
For some reason, last week, she was watching the NFC Championship game that they lost. I was like, why are you putting yourself through this again? Just say whatever you're trying to say, dude.
I'm speechless.
Don't hold back. You don't have to hold back.
I don't know any Packer fan that would purposely put themselves through that again. I don't understand that logic at all, but whatever. So what are we watching now?
Yes.
Well, I told you yesterday, Outdaughtered.
I still can't believe you're really watching that.
Dude, let me tell you something. Having one baby versus having five babies and I think they have a six-year-old or five-year-old, no way. This show, if you're a parent, you watch this show, you'll feel much better about yourself. You just will. Because even me, there were moments where these five babies were like just taking over the house and I'm just cringing like, oh my goodness, are they really doing that? Because the mom is a stay-at-home mom and then the dad works.
She better be a stay-at-home mom.
The dad works, and it's based out of Texas. They got a beautiful house. The dad works and supports eight people, essentially, including himself, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so she's home, and she's trying to cook dinner, whatever else, and you got these babies. She's got them caged in as best she can, But they're just everywhere, wiping their hands on the walls and everything else, stuff all over their face, crawling everywhere. Then they go into, is it her mom? Yeah, her mom gets a house that she bought. So they go in, it's empty, and these babies get in the front door. Now, it's empty, and they hadn't painted the walls yet, and they're gone. Poof. And she's like, where'd they all go? And they're gone throughout the
house. How
old
are these things?
They're not things. At the time of the taping of the show, they were 21 months.
So oh, my God.
They weren't two yet. All red hair, all girls.
Oh, my God.
And they were gone. And all of a sudden, the five-year-old comes running in and says, I forgot her name, is locked in a closet, can't get out. And you hear that the baby is in the closet, the door is shut, and cannot get out.
You got five of them?
And a five-year-old.
Yeah, I might just leave it there.
And a five-year-old. It's not an it, man. No. Dude, that show, I'm just telling you. And if you don't like it, you're like, dude, that's a chick show, whatever. Tell your girl, because she'll like it.
It's not. I don't think it's a chick show. I just think that reality TV, 99 times out of 100, is garbage. And there are too many good scripted shows out there.
I know. That's always been your stance, and that's fine. I'm just telling you. And the amount of stress that is on this dude, like, all the time. And then the amount of stress on his, like, she is like.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm telling you, she is by herself, right? And she's trying to go. She goes to the grocery store, and she calls up a couple of her friends to go with her. And they've got, like, just kids on kids on kids in shopping carts. And they're doing their shopping and whatever else. They have a full-size van to transport the family around with all these car seats. And you got five car seats. Six. Or no. Yeah, five car seats. All set up.
What kind of car do they have with six kids?
It's a full-size van that somebody donated to them from a church or something when they found out they were going to have quintuplets.
We need to stop encouraging this type of behavior.
But Rami, so
donating stuff to these people.
This dude works all day, right? Doing whatever it is
that
he
does. He has 6 mouths to feed.
Hold on.
Five of them are twins, or whatever you call it. Quintuplets.
Quintuplets, right. So this dude works all day. This lady, this girl, she's like not over her head, but the amount of stress that these babies will cause you is unbelievable. This dude walks in like, doo-doo-doo, oh, hey, how's your day, man? Yay! And this chick is so overstressed at this point. And he's all happy, like, hey, how's it been? Hey, whatever else. And oh, my God. I'm just like, oh, my God. I couldn't even imagine.
So what is it called?
One stresses me out to a degree. And then you add, like, two older kids with it like we have. And then that's enough. If five at that same age?
I'm telling you right now.
And then, what about when they get line them up in high chairs along the wall? Whoop, five of them. Time to eat. And oh, there's God. Food going everywhere. Food on their face. Some of them are crying. Then you get one stop crying, two other ones. Then there's one that's like the bully of the five. And she's like, takes a toy, wham, hits one in the face. Wham, rips a toy out of another one's hands. I'm like,
can you imagine
my God.
when they get to be like preteens and teenagers? I don't know if you guys have ever spent any time around girls that age. There's going to be some knockdown, drag out, bloody fights.
How about five?
In that house? That's when I'll watch that show.
Hey,
so that's when it gets real interesting.
Five prom dresses at the same time you ought to buy.
Spark, not even that. Okay, I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old boys.
Right.
Okay. My bathrooms are so disgusting because their aim is horrible. So every time, you got to wear shoes and you got to, disinfect everything. Can you imagine five kids going through potty training at the same time?
I said this yesterday. If I was to ever father twins.
Oh, that's on the show. That's coming up on the show.
God.
That's this season. Episode one just happened Tuesday night. That's part of it. And they show upcoming previews. And there's stuff coming down from between these girls' legs, like in a park, and they're wearing dresses. And it's like, oh, my goodness gracious.
If I was to ever father twins, I'm going to stick around and do my best. If it's triplets or more, it's best for everybody involved that I just leave, that I'm just
you
not.
You aren't doing that.
No, for real.
No, for real. You're
that's,
not doing
that's
that.
For everybody's
you're way
sake.
Too good of a guy to leave
for
anybody.
Me, for
you're
the mom, for the kids. I'm not going to be good for anybody. It's going to be
getting a second job, though.
It's going to be a bad situation for everyone. And I'll send money back. I'll send money back, but I'm not going to be able to be a good parent.
Yes, you will.
With five of those things running around. That's
They're
just not
things.
That's just not. That is not. I'm not cut out for it, man. I don't think I'm cut out to be a parent, period. There are five of them? Five of those little things run around? No, I'm out. And it's for everyone. It's for everybody's sake. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing it for the greater good. If it's more than two, I'm out. I'm sorry.
You just jinxed yourself, Rom.
Okay.
You just jinxed yourself.
I jinxed those kids who are going to grow up fatherless. We'll hit a quick break on the other side.
But I'm not done telling you what else I'm watching.
Well, we got time. We're going to do more. Right. And we'll take your calls at 799-1250. Tweets at 105.7FM The Fan. What you watching through this All-Star break and no sports for the next two nights? I know what Bart and Jeff Orlowski are watching, and I'm disappointed in those guys. We'll be right back in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. It's the Wendy's Big Show. We're live in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios. I'm Rami. There's Sparky.
I forgot, and I don't know how I forgot.
Hmm.
Buck Summer League is on tonight. Their playoffs start tonight. Who they got? The Kings?
Yeah, Sacramento.
They got nobody to stop De'Aaron Fox, probably. But Rashad Vaughn's been playing out of his mind, so that could be fun to watch.
We're doing something we do every once in a while here on the Wendy's Big Show when it's a slow time in the sports world, as it is now. No baseball outside of the Summer League. No real basketball. Nothing really sports-wise until Friday, unless you include the ESPYs. What you watching these next couple of nights? 799-1250, or you can email us live at 1057fmthefan.com. Tweets are always welcome as well, at 1057fmthefan. Sparky already told us, what was the name of the show again with the quintuplets?
Outdaughtered on TLC.
Bart Winkler tweeted, while we were discussing this, I don't know if he heard us discussing this or if this is just a coinkydink. You can follow him at WinkStinks, says, hey, Julie! Wild hashtag BB19 season so far. So wild that at Jeff Orlowski and I had to do a podcast. Listen here. I didn't even know what BB19 was, so I searched the hashtag. It's Big Brother. You're watching Big Brother, dude?
I love it. Greatest summer series there is on TV. It's three nights a week, Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's an investment in time.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
How long is each episode?
An hour.
And then there's Big Brother After Dark, too.
Yeah, that's seven nights a week, 3 hours. That's kind of boring.
Seven nights a week?
What is it, a live camera?
Yeah, there's all these guys and girls in a house. They got cameras everywhere, so it's just they flip between the different camera shots and stuff like that. So you could listen into, you know, these people's conversations and stuff like that. But fantastic show.
You're the only two that I know that watch that.
Season 19, so we're not.
Somebody's watching it, right?
No, I'm not saying people don't watch it. I'm just saying you are the only two people that I know personally that I know that actually watch it.
But check out that podcast at 1057fmthefan.com.
Absolutely, because obviously there's a lot of people that watch it.
So. Or on the newly designed smartphone app. I watched in about 2 days over the weekend. It wasn't even All-Star break yet, but I got things started. In about 2 days, I watched the entire second season of the Aziz Ansari, I don't know if you'd call it a sitcom, TV show, on Netflix. It's called Master of None. So good and so funny. If you don't know Aziz Ansari, he's an Indian-American comic. His parents were immigrants, and just like me. So I relate, I totally relate to this show. His parents, his actual parents, are in the show. Not
nice.
Actors. His actual parents are in the show, and the relationship and the chemistry he has with his parents totally reminds me of the relationship I have with my parents, and his dad is almost exactly like my dad with a different accent, and it's such a funny show. It's just a young dude. It's kind of like Louis. If you ever watched Louis, the Louis C.K. sitcom on FX, it's kind of in the same style as that, about a young guy. He plays an actor in the show. He's a comedian, but he plays an actor in the show, and just trying to find his way in life, working his way through relationships, trying to figure out his career, etc., etc. And it's just a really, really well-done show. At the end of season one, he has sort of a bad breakup with his girlfriend, so he decides, I'm just going to leave everything and go to Italy and learn how to make pasta. So that's where season two starts.
In Italy?
In Italy. And him being an apprentice to this old lady who's a pasta maker in Italy. So the first two episodes are just him going around Italy in the first episode, a girl that he met. And then in the second episode, a friend of his from the States, who was in season one, who came over to visit him, just going around Italy and being hilarious and eating some of the most delicious food that's ever been captured on film. I'm not a guy who really wants to travel, but just after those first two episodes of Master 2 season 2 of Master of None, I want to go to Italy and just eat for like a week, just nonstop eat, go back to being fat Rami, and then hit the gym hard when I get back. It's a really, really good show. You should check it out.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, good.
I'll give you my password.
What else you got, Rom? Or Jeff, what do you got?
I haven't started, but I got to watch House of Cards, the newest season. Yep. Got released about a month ago on Netflix.
Got worse and worse and more boring as it went along. Season four, I tried to watch the first two episodes. I fell asleep during. I had to make multiple attempts at getting through each of the episodes because it was so boring. I kept falling asleep. I gave up. Never went back to finish season four, and I have no interest in going back to watch season five. And I loved that show, the first two seasons. I thought it was amazing.
Season four got a lot better. It did. It was a slow starter, and it took a while getting into, and then it got.
Damn, are you telling me I have to give it another try?
Yeah, start on episode three.
No, you don't have to.
You'll catch up.
Corey tweets at the Fan, I just heard about the psychological series called The Experiment. Gonna watch that tonight.
I haven't heard of it.
I have not heard of it either.
A few people have tweeted at me, and I've been thinking about checking this out already, about GLOW on Netflix. It's an acronym, GLOW. It's the Glamorous
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Glamorous. Is
that
it Glamorous?
Or,
yeah.
It's I used to watch it. Yeah.
I used to watch it, too.
And I think it's based on true stories from that wrestling federation that you just talked about. I think so. I think it is. I'm not sure. But it is about it's about female wrestling, and it takes place in like the early 80s,
I
believe.
You remember like the big Hawaiian lady?
Oh, yeah.
She was like the mama to all of them or whatever else. She was huge, but
and
she was funny.
There's
and
a
the
hilarious,
farmer's daughter.
Farmer's daughter, right, yep.
A hilarious comic with, I've never heard it, but I hear nothing but great things about his podcast. Mark Maron stars in that show. He had his own sitcom on IFC. And the female lead in that is Allison Brie. And if you don't know Allison Brie, Google Allison Brie. And
what's this show about?
GLOW. What I was just talking about female wrestlers in like the early 80s.
Yeah, so it's about that whole...
Yeah.
Didn't know. I got another one that we're watching. Now, there are so many of these same shows now. Everybody's doing Fixer Upper, right? Something like Fixer Upper. Or Flip or Flop. That's another one. And their relationship just completely went haywire and now they're divorced. Huh?
They're still doing the show.
Yeah, right, yeah. But now because those guys kind of lost their minds together, now everybody's trying to do Flip or Flop. So now there's Flip or Flop Vegas, and everybody's trying to hop on this board to take it. So there's this other show called Hometown, and it's a guy, big, burly dude, and he's like a woodworker type guy. He's got to be 6'5", 6'6", big dude, and his tiny little wife. And they go in and they do renovations to houses that people buy, kind of like Fixer Upper to a certain degree. But it's based down south. It's not based in Texas. So it's a totally different style of show or whatever else. That's a pretty cool show. We've been getting into watching that lately. That's a fun show. I like all those Fixer Upper shows.
I've seen it. That is a very good show.
I like that show. It's pretty nice. Fixer Upper is still my favorite of all of them, but yeah.
Jervis Tetch tweets at you, Sparky, and I would second this, but I know you won't take my advice. He says, you need to watch Preacher on AMC. That's a really good show. It's based on, I never read the graphic novel, but it's based on a graphic novel from the 90s. And it's about, it's hard to explain, a preacher, obviously, who somehow is possessed by Gemini, who is the offspring of God and Satan. And he has this power where he can tell anybody to do anything that he wants. And at the end of season one, they have to leave the town that they're living in, and they're in search for God, who left heaven and came down to... I know it's a weird premise. It's a very strange premise, but God has left heaven. I think he's given up on the human race, and he comes down to Earth. So this preacher and his girlfriend and a friend of theirs, who's a vampire, are in search of God.
Yep, not watching it.
So they can him go back to heaven.
When does Harry Potter
and
come
take
in
care
in
of the
story?
Human? No, it's nothing like that. It is it's really bloody and graphic, and violent. But it's really, really good.
I forgot the Gold Cup is on tonight for the men's soccer team.
The what?
The Gold Cup is tonight. Donnie just tweeted at the Fan, said Gold Cup USA Soccer US Men's National Team. I forgot that was on tonight, but that US Men's Soccer Team, they're playing a bunch of guys that are trying to audition essentially to be on the World Cup team. A lot of their veterans aren't playing in this thing, but we'll see how it goes. Their first game was a draw at one. So that's on tonight as well. John tweets at the Fan, I'll be reading a book on psychology. Better you, John, than me.
Nerd.
PD tweets at Rami, you need to watch hashtag PowerTV on Stars.
I don't have Stars. What is that the one with 50 Cent? Power? I
don't know. I'm going to look at it.
Am I right about that? I think
our
that's the
TV
one with 50 Cent.
Show cast. Let's see. We have, 50 Cent.
That's what I thought. Yep, I hear good things about it. I do hear good things about it. I think Glow will be next in my queue, though. I also have a lot of stand-up specials on Netflix to catch up with. Haven't watched both the Chappelle specials yet. Louis C.K. has a new one. I got a lot of stand-up to catch up on.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know what? That might be what I need to do.
What?
Is go back and watch the first, what is it, four or five seasons that they've had of Curb Your Enthusiasm just to get primed and ready.
I have never
for the new season.
Watched all the episodes, but my buddy Jim was a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he took it with us to, where did he bring this? He brought the discs of a season or two somewhere. Was it Vegas or Florida? I don't remember where we went, but he brought it and he was watching it, and that's how I first learned about it or watched it. It's pretty funny. It was pretty funny. I got to admit, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've never watched like the whole seasons of them all, but
may be my favorite comedy
definitely.
Ever
Larry
in
David.
The history
Larry,
of TV.
Larry David's very
He's
funny.
So good. I like you know what I'm about to do, though? I'm about to, me and my girlfriend, she's never seen Breaking Bad, which I think may be the greatest television in the history of television. I'm going to go back and watch that entire series beginning to end.
That's the meth addict
with
show?
With her. It's not a meth addict. It's a meth dealer.
Whatever.
It's a meth cooker.
Andy tweets at the fan, I'm watching Snowfall on FX. I had no intention of watching it. However, after 10 minutes of seeing it, I was hooked.
I do want to see that. I missed the first episode. It looks real good. It's about the rise of crack cocaine in Los Angeles in the 80s.
Cameron tweets at the fan, I've recently become a fan of Parks and Rec all seasons
love
on Netflix.
Show.
Hashtag Ron Swanson.
That's a great show, and Ron Swanson is an American hero. We'll hit a quick break, then we'll reset the big topics discussed on today's big show. If you want to keep giving us those suggestions, either on the phones or on Twitter, at 105.7FM, the fan, we'll see if we can squeeze those in. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane when we return in the Holtz Chevrolet studio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.